Good afternoon. My name is Sandra Wayman, and I'm thrilled to be speaking to you today. I work with Dr. Matt Ryan at Cornell University. We're in the Sustainable Cropping Systems Lab. And today I'm going to be talking about a survey that we conducted for farmers about cover crops. We also worked with Stephen Mirsky and Lisa Kissing-Kusick for this survey. Insert 10 slides about how wonderful cover crops are. I'll just say, take 10 seconds to talk about that they are wonderful. We know that. We've been talking about that. However, they're only planted on about 3% of cropland in the United States. This statistic comes from the National Agriculture Statistics Service, done in 2011. Unlike cash crops, there has been fewer breeding efforts done on cover crops. So that means at this point, we'd have good potential for better return on investment in breeding efforts. And there's an increase in interest in cover crops. Since 2010, the number of cover crop acres per farm has tripled, which is an awesome increase in just a few years. Finally, Stephen Mirsky and a bunch of others have been working on an OREI grant for cover crop improvement. And as part of this grant, we wanted to document farmer support. So we put out the survey to quantify farmer interest in cover crops and breeding, and that's what I'm going to be talking about for the next couple minutes. This is a screenshot of what the survey would have looked like for participants. The survey was open for a total of a month period of time. We had 504 people access the survey, but 417 full responses. That's people who finished it to the end, making for an 82% response rate. The survey was distributed in a couple different venues. We had a Cornell outreach specialist tweet it on the Cornell feed, which was then picked up by the NRCS feed. This got to a lot of participants. 42% of responses happened on the one day that this tweet happened. So it shows us the power of social media, which is pretty exciting. We also directly emailed leaders in organic networks like the NOFA, Northeast Organic Farmers Association, and they sent it out to their members. I'd like to point out that 90% of the responses happened in the first 8 days. This suggests that there's sort of a fresh in the inbox phenomenon for surveys to get answered. This map shows hardiness zones in the United States, and it represents 3 to 10, the hardiness zones 3 to 10, and these were participants came from all the hardiness zones, is what I'm saying. 26 states were represented, with California and New York being the most numerous. 67% of our participants were organic farmers, and the survey was directed to organic farmers mainly based on how it was distributed. And 87% of respondents reported that they did use cover crops. We asked farmers what were the main crops that they grew, and they could choose multiple, which is why this does not add up to 100%. So grains, which would be everything from wheat to corn, vegetables and forages were the most common crops grown by the participants in the survey. We asked farmers what factors limited cover crop performance on their farm. And late or untimely establishment, conditions too wet or dry were the top main issues for farmers growing cover crops. I'd like to point out that 26% of respondents said that cover crop performance was not actually limited on their farm, which is, you know, a pretty great result. I'd also like to point out that less than 10% of respondents said that they didn't have enough information about cover crops, or that they chose the wrong species or variety. Since it's less than 10% of respondents, this is kind of good news, you know, suggesting that, you know, there's a decent amount of cover crop resources out there, and that extension educators, you know, are doing a pretty good job. We also asked farmers what were the main reasons why they grew cover crops. And I broke these results down by conventional and organic farmers, organic in the green and conventional in the pink. The top reasons relate to soil. There was another survey conducted by SARE and CTIC that's been referenced a couple times throughout the day. This survey was had results from 2014-2015. Sourced a lot more participants than we were able to, but that SARE survey also found that soil reasons were the main reasons why farmers chose to grow cover crops. Improving soil health, increasing soil organic matter, reducing soil erosion. I'm going to point out that nitrogen fixation was rated as very important by organic farmers. A lot more organic farmers than conventional farmers consider this to be important, which suggests that, you know, the organic farmers are relying on those cover crops for the green manure and the nitrogen input. Cover crops are a main management tool in their systems. This is a screenshot. We had four focus cover crops that we used as examples for farmers to give us ideas about specific traits that they would like to see for breeding. So if farmers answered that they grew one of these four focus crops, they were then diverted to a page. This one is for hairy vetch. And they could rate from not at all important to extremely important various traits: early vigor and quick establishment, winter hardiness, early maturity, et cetera, down to no hard seed. We always offered options for farmers to fill in other category if something they had did not necessarily fit in one of our boxes. So this next graph that I'm showing is our four focus crops and the respondents who said that these traits listed across the x-axis were either important or very important. So nitrogen fixation tops out above 90% for the three legume cover crops. The focus crops were Austrian winter pea, crimson clover, hairy vetch, and cereal rye. Cereal rye was seen to be especially important for winter hardiness, early vigor establishment, biomass production, and weed suppression. I'd also like to point out that disease resistance and no hard seed were considered kind of less important traits for the respondents. Fewer than 40% of the respondents considered those traits to be important or very important. We also asked farmers how much would they be willing to spend on cover crop seed. The y-axis shows the percent of respondents, and the x-axis is the different bins of amount they'd be willing to spend. I broke this up by conventional and organic farmers as well. And you can see it's sort of bell-shaped, except this is where it gets pretty striking. Organic farmers reported more willingness to spend over $75 per acre than did conventional farmers. This was definitely a striking result to me. It suggests that organic farmers see, you know, cover crops to be very important, that there could be a niche market for certain cover crops for organic farmers because they rely on them more strongly than do conventional farmers for management tools. We then asked farmers to rate their agreement or disagreement with various statements provided about cover crops. This graph shows the percentage of respondents who agreed or strongly agreed with the given statements. So about 70% of both organic and conventional farmers reported that they agreed that more research should be conducted on cover crop breeding and variety improvement. Well, that's good. More organic farmers agreed that participatory breeding is important for developing new cover crop varieties, and participatory breeding is involving the farmers more deeply in the breeding process. So farmers would host trials on their property, they would walk through the trials and choose traits, helping in the selection process. About an equal percentage of organic and conventional farmers said that they would grow more varieties if they were regionally adapted. That's about 40% of respondents. And again, about 40% of conventional and organic agreed that they would pay more if cover crops provided more benefits. This was sort of our sticky question. We threw this in just to sort of see if there was an opinion on this between organic and conventional farmers, asking them if they agreed if cover crops are more important for organic farmers than for conventional farmers. And obviously, more organic farmers agreed with this, but not all of them. Finally, it's good news, less than 20% of both organic and conventional farmers thought that they were concerned with cover crops becoming weeds on their farms. So that's good. At the end of the survey, we provided the participants a free answer box so they could share anything they wanted. And it was really exciting to go through these. We got hundreds of responses. People, you know, took the time after, you know, spending the time to answer a survey on the computer to give us more information. So this first one deals with like a specific trait that someone wanted to see, hairy vetch that establishes faster from more biomass to green manure in the first half of April. Here's another one. Need to work out the cover crop insurance issues. Presently, cover crops are not an improved practice. And finally, someone shared their historical growing of cover crops. I have grown a cover crop every winter for 38 years. It is the most important crop I grow. So to wrap up, for the survey, we found that nitrogen fixation was a very important trait in cover crops. And organic farmers are willing to spend more than conventional farmers are for cover crop seed. Our work on the grant is beginning. We're excited to start working on participatory breeding trials with farmers. The grant is entitled Creating the Cover Crops That Organic Farmers Need, Delivering Regionally Adapted Varieties Across America. So thanks to, in part, to our funding agency. And I'd like to end with my favorite quote from the free response section from one of the farmers. I think everyone overanalyzes cover crops. Their purpose is to feed the soil biology. I've been growing cover crops since 1998. Soil caretakers need to feed their soils carbon with green leaves, period. I like farming. So thank you for your interest, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Sandra?
I'm curious if you have any insight. Do you conclude that nitrogen fixation is really important? And then the idea of earlier maturing varieties was not considered important. And I find those two things to be very related in terms of. So do you have any insight on what might be going on here?
So the question relates to the fact that nitrogen fixation was reported to be very important, but that early maturing varieties. Right, that was not as reported. I think a lot of survey data does have to do with who happens to open the link and fill it out. So it could be a slight having to do with who the survey got to. There can be subtle ways in which the questions are worded, could have thrown people off. But I totally agree, early maturity is also a very important trait. Anyone else? Yeah.
How did the willingness to pay shake out based on the type of commodity, whether they were vegetable farmers or grain farmers?
Yeah, awesome question. I actually have a slide on that, but that's for my 30-minute presentation. It's the vegetable farmers and the fruit growers who are willing to pay more. You're not going to have a grain farmer willing to shell out that much per acre on cover crop seed.
Where are they, on average, the grain farmers?
Definitely on the lower side, less than 25 for sure, probably more than less than 10, I think. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Yep.
So how would this change breeding objectives?
Well, it is definitely informing the breeders and the researchers what farmers think are important. So we're going to be including these responses in, the traits that we'll be heading towards as we breed.
All right. Well, let's thanks, Sandra.